may wonder why all the different names are in the bulletin. Those are the children that will be helping to lead worship on the second service. So that's to help the sound folks know who's talking next. Thank you, Connie, for leading us this morning, too. So continuing the reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God for the people of God. So one morning, a grandmother was surprised by her 7-year-old grandson. He had made her coffee. Her delight quickly faded, however, as she drank what was the worst cup of coffee she had ever had. When she reached the bottom, she was surprised to see 3 of those little green army men in the cup. She asked, "Honey, what are the army men doing in my coffee cup?" And her grandson replied, "Grandma, it says on TV, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." Let us pray. Tickles the fan. It's kind of tickly, isn't it? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I admit I enjoy some Folgers in my cup every morning, and it is the best part of waking up. That warmth of the mug as my hands hold it, and that sensation as that liquid goes down as I'm sipping it, it just sets the tone for the day. And those days that I don't get to do that, like the days for fasting to get blood work, or that time I had the sun don't shine test, you know, the colonoscopy. And so I'm sitting there in the gurney, and for over an hour I'm waiting for the doctor to show up. And you know, when he finally walks in, you know what he had? A Starbucks coffee. Well, I can tell you, I so wanted to say something, but given where he was going to be poking and prodding, I decided I would keep my mouth shut. Well, all this is leading up today to our coffee mug saying for the day. Today is not a scripture, it is a saying, and it's cute and appropriate. All I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Now, I wonder sometimes how often we may get that order mixed up. A little Jesus and a whole lot of coffee. We see this in this morning's Bible reading from the Gospel of John. It begins with the miracle story that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus and his disciples have slipped away for some alone time, but it is interrupted by the crowds that relentlessly pursue Jesus. As Jesus is speaking to his disciples, they approach. The other Gospels tell us that Jesus takes time to teach them as they are sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on them. And then as evening comes, it is dinner time, and Jesus determines to feed them and says to Peter, "What do you got?" And Peter says, "Well, Jesus, it would take 6 months' salary just to feed a little bit of all these people." And then Andrew comes, as Andrew often does. Andrew brings someone to Jesus, and this time he brings a little boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and he's not quite sure Jesus will be able to do anything with it, but he entrusts it to Jesus, and as we see, that which we give to Jesus, Jesus can bless and multiply, and that is what he does. And the 5,000 are fed, and they are satisfied, and there are 12 baskets full left over. Now, as this is happening, it is almost the Passover, and nationalism is at its peak, as well as an expectation of God's Messiah. So Jesus, here in a wilderness setting in the manner of Moses, feeds the people. The crowd is abuzz, and they determine to make Jesus king, even if they have to do so by force. Jesus knows their intentions, and so he slips away to the mountain to pray. Now, meanwhile, in the segment of reading that was not read for you this morning, the disciples enter a boat, and they head across the Sea of Galilee. We're familiar with this story as well. The winds pick up and the water becomes choppy, and the disciples are rowing against the storm, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. They're terrified and they think he's a ghost, and he calls to them and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." He steps into the boat and immediately they are at the shoreline. Now, meanwhile, on the opposite side where Jesus had been, the crowds are frantically seeking Jesus. They are looking high and low, and he is nowhere to be found. And so there are some more boats there, and they just decide, I don't know if they pilfered someone's boats or whatnot, but they get in these boats, and they head to the other side of the lake toward Capernaum. Arriving, they find Jesus. And it's interesting, their question is, how did you get here? When did you get here? They can't figure out how Jesus got past them, and of course it never occurs to them that he walked across the sea on the water, and Jesus doesn't tell them either. Instead, he rebukes them and exposes their true motive. For you see, they are seeking Jesus not for himself, but for the fill of bread. They are seeking Jesus for material benefit, as many still do today, as they seek him for health and wealth and spiritual blessing. You see, they need a lot of bread that will satisfy physical desire, but there is very little need of Jesus. And so Jesus tells them, stop laboring for the food that spoils, and seek instead and work for the food that is for eternal life. Now, the crowd misunderstands. They are used to the idea of works righteousness, and so they wonder, what work must we do to have this bread for eternal life? And Jesus says, simply believe in the one God has sent. In other words, you need a little of this bread, but you need a whole lot of me. Well, they are not quick to believe. They say to him, you want us to believe? Well, give us a sign. And you know, it almost makes me want to laugh. You got to love it. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, with 12 baskets full left over. And they are not convinced. They point to how Moses fed their ancestors in the wilderness for 40 years with manna every day. They wanted proof that Jesus could provide for them as Moses had for their ancestors. And so Jesus responds, folks, it was not Moses who fed you and your ancestors in the wilderness. Those 40 years, it was God the Father who gives true bread from heaven. And so Jesus seizes this moment and he adds, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's one of the 10 references in this chapter to Jesus having originated in heaven. As John 1 tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The crowd say to him, sir, give us this bread. Sir, no Lord, no rabbi, no recognition at all of who he is. Just, sir, give us some of this. And Jesus responds, I am the bread of life. This I am statement is one of 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am referring back to the name of God given to Moses. I am who I am. Jesus is identifying himself as God and saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For us to understand the significance of bread, we have to go back into that day and age. Because in our culture, bread is an add-on. It's an enjoyable part of our meal. Last night I went to dinner at Olive Garden. What do they do at Olive Garden but bring you baskets full of bread? And you can enjoy it, and sometimes you can fill up on it even before your meal comes. Or you can go out for breakfast and they give you what? It's about that long of a list of bread options that you can choose to go along with your meal. But you see, in Jesus' day, bread was baked daily and was an essential part of the meal, if not the main part of the meal. In Scripture, bread is symbolic of God's provision, like the manna in the wilderness, or the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath and her son, who day by day had oil and flour sufficient for bread for the day during a time of famine. It is also a symbol of God's presence, the bread of presence that is on the altar of God in the tabernacle and temple contains 12 loaves of bread, a perpetual offering to God, representing Israel's commitment to God and the acknowledgement that God was the source of all food and of all things. And so here Jesus is the bread of life. He is God. He is the provision and presence of God, true manna from heaven. So Jesus points out that those in the wilderness ate their manna and they died in the wilderness, but those who eat of the bread that Jesus offers will never die. Jesus did not come to give bread. He came to be bread. Specifically, living bread. But the people respond with grumbling like their ancestors had in the wilderness. They go, isn't he Joseph's son? Don't we know his parents? How can he claim to be from heaven? And they're on the fence of belief. But Jesus comes along and he pushes them over the edge. They have to make a decision at this point, and he adds in verses 53 and 54, later in the reading, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Now, Jesus is not speaking literally, but they take him that way, and many depart. And Jesus, in one of the most poignant moments in Scripture, as many are walking away and rejecting him, he turns to his disciples and he says, do you want to go away too? And Peter, he has one of his bright and shiny moments. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus says, yes, indeed. But he knows that there is one in their midst that is not seeking him in that way. For Judas, like the crowd, had something they wanted from Jesus. But Peter captured the moment. You know, this morning we come to the table. We come to remember Christ's offering for us, his body broken, his blood shed for our sin, and we come symbolically to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood. And it's a hard teaching for many, as it was in Jesus' day. But it was not hard for Peter. He asked the perfect question, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. For you see, friends, there is no name in heaven or on earth by which man can be saved except Jesus Christ. Jesus does not bid us to come and literally eat of him, but he does symbolically desire that we take him into our lives. He said it another way in another of the I am statements when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me and I in you. Jesus seeks for us to be in union with him, to be yoked with him, to abide in him, to eat of him, to bring him into our very lives. You know, each week we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we often focus on our physical need for bread, but there is only one bread for which we are truly needful, and that is Christ, the bread of life. St. Augustine wrote, Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless without thee. You see, we are created to be in union with God, and we have that union through Jesus Christ. Jesus is bread for eternal life. He is also our daily provision of bread as we wake every morning. He is our daily help, our daily guide, our daily friend, our daily peace, our daily hope, our daily light. And so we come to him. But do we come seeking what he can do for us, what we receive from his hand, or are we seeking him? Do we desire to bring him into our lives and receive that gift of eternal life, but also the abundant life he desires to live in and through us? And so today we awake to that coffee mug that says, today all I need, a little coffee, but I need a whole lot of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.